wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has, and good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Coming to you live this, oh, it's a snowy morning. It's still spring, not quite springtime yet. It's still wintertime here this March 2nd. 2019. And good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, thanks for joining us out of not quite snowy Nebraska, but maybe it's heading your way. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning again to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us. And we say good morning, Lord Jesus. Let us pour you a cup. Pull up a chair and join us. And we know that he is here, whether he's got coffee with him or not, because we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. And when his word says, when two or more of us gather in that name, that he is there also. And explain that all out, well, some things just can't be explained. Because I know we're not the only ones gathering in the name of Jesus Christ, but where two or more gather in his name, he is there also. We have to remember that. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being here with us. And we thank you, the remnant, for getting up this morning and taking time to join us. Lots going on. We were talking before the program, several things that I think we'll bring up. But Jason, if you'd open us up in prayer first, that's certainly where we need to start.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in all that we do, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you tend to the remnant's needs from sea to shining sea, Father, that you look out after them, that you protect them, that you just protect us in these changing times we're living in, Father. We ask that you give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Father. We hold up a shield of faith and extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one that come against us in all ways, shapes, and forms. And we pray, Jesus, save us. Save us from the hand of our enemies and all who hate us. We ask that you save America again. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, Jason, since you mentioned that in the prayer, for God to save America again. I'll remind the people, because we have so many new people that have come on, at least monthly. We're sending out introductory packets and catalogs and talking to new people that have come on. We years ago, Pastor Peters put together a video, and it's called God Save America Again. And it starts out as a music video, but it's so much more than that. It is a teaching video, and somewhat interactive. And so we encourage you. We'll send them out. We've advertised them just to try to get them out. We try just to at least get postage covered on them. They sure cost an arm and a leg to put together, but that's what we do. And so they're available. And we also have just gotten in some more of the God Save America Again t-shirts. It's an excellent little navy blue t-shirt that is sure to catch attention. How about that? When you wear it out, it's not quite a red Make America Great hat, but I think that it is a reminder that it is God who made America great in the first place. And it is God who, and only God and His Son Jesus Christ, that will save America. And you know, when we read through the scriptures, again, that's one of the reasons we encourage you to read your Bible. We push that, promote that all we can, is that we see that story, that God has saved His people time and time and time before. When, not just when He gets a wild hair, not just when the stars line up, not just on a year that you have three blood-red moons in three straight months. No, that's not what motivates our God. But when His people, who are called by His name, humble themselves and repent and turn and return to Him, well, then... God says, let me show you something, boy. Let me show you what I can do. You see that Red Sea there? Just watch. And He splits it wide open. Or you see those 185,000 enemies that are there? Tell you what, how about if they just wake up dead this morning? But it is when our people return to Him. There's nothing He hasn't done. We all have sons here. Many of the remnant out there do. What more could you do than give your son for a cause? What more? There is nothing more that you could do. And God did that. And now it's up to us. And so we're trying to do our part. We've got this God Save America Again. In the past, we've offered, like, hey, you want a t-shirt and 10 DVDs? How about $15? 10 DVDs to pass out. And that's what these are for. These are for you to give to somebody else. Hey, take a look at this. You know, God Save America Again. Take a look and just pass it out. And get a cool t-shirt to wear. So we have that. We were out of some sizes for a while, but we've got those back in stock. And I think we've got them from small to 4X. So we've got them. We've had a brother out, I think, in Minnesota that ordered some and took a picture of him at a gun show, passing out the DVDs and wearing the God Save America Again shirt. And so it's not to promote us, it's not to push, but it's to promote God, and it's to get the people to turn back to God. That's that's what it's for. So we have them. If you're not familiar with them, you can contact us at the office, and we'll let you know. It's on the website, scriptures4america.org. You can click on the left, the little SFA store, and you can find it that way. But it's a pretty cool shirt, and it is a good way to, you know, maybe break the ice. Maybe, you know, you give somebody a DVD and let them know, hey, this is a cool little DVD. Take a look. So that's where we are today. You know, they had the CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, in Maryland this past week. I don't know how long it was going on. I think it was at least Thursday and Friday. And one of the quotes that came out of that I thought was pretty good. You know, Dr. Ben Carson, he's a colored gentleman. You know, I say that with all respect, but that's what he is. He's a surgeon. But a quote that he gave that came out was that he warned that we are losing the morality of our society. And it's being highlighted by this, you know, whatever they're calling it, late-term abortion, you know, basically the baby-killing bill that the Democrats have pushed and promoted, and that states like New York and have pushed and promoted and passed. And I'm glad to see that out. Didn't see a lot of news play on it, but I think that it does. You know, it's not because of, or I should say, not just because that this bill was passed, that New York has done this, but it is certainly a symptom, and it is a showing of how bad that, quite frankly, the morality, at least for some, has gotten, or lack of morality here in this country. And
right.
A couple of things that was, he said that this, he compared the legalization of this abortion to going off the deep end, and he had several press conferences over the last couple of weeks, and basically he says, if people need to be to this. He said that the morality of our society is failing, and yes. You know, I mean, as soon as you start seeing these things like this, you know, where is it going to stop? I mean, it goes drastically downhill from that point. And you know, it was interesting because I had this conversation with a guy this week, and he stopped by and was talking to me for a few minutes, and you know, he had a really good point. He said, you know, when a heartbeat stops beating, that's when they call time of death. They always, right. You know, when the last heartbeat is, when the coroner, when the doctor, when they want to verify time of death, it is when the heartbeat stops beating.
Yes.
So he said, when does life begin? You know, does it begin when the heart starts beating? You know, when does a child have constitutional rights? I mean, if it's illegal to murder somebody, when do those rights take effect? You know, is it at the time of conception? Is it the time of the first heartbeat is sensed? Is it the time the child's born? But what is wrong with why, you know, America is screwed up? Because, you know, here's a child that has absolutely no constitutional rights. And I thought that was a good point, and I had never thought of it in that sense. But you know, morally wrong. We know that it's morally wrong. But you know, well, what about constitutionally wrong? I mean, it's wrong on so many different fronts, and it's one of those things that I think a person can get caught in the trap of even arguing the thing. I mean, it's murder. It's killing. You know, it brings the wrath of God on a people also. And, you know, we're reaping what we've sown. And it's, you know, it's going to get worse. You kill more babies, you're going to receive more wrath of God.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. And you would think that, you know, like you the constitutionalists, the maybe if people, even if they don't have a biblical understanding, but just that, yeah, right. Well, people are born with inalienable rights that, you know, you regardless that the word says, before I formed you, I knew you. Before. And we understand that. We understand that life is there. But you're absolutely right. You know, it is perfectly logical that if death is when the heartbeat stops, then life is when it starts. I mean, that just is as logical as it can be. But these people that do not serve our God, do not see it that way. They certainly don't.
Well, and it becomes more and more apparent to me as I, you know, as I look into these matters and as I pray on them and think on them that, you know, God's plan is beginning to completion. From Genesis 1 to Revelations, you know, that's God's plan for God's people. And we see the enemies of God, they distort, distract, and dissect God's plan. Their whole goal is to break what God set in motion apart and to stop its fruition. And when we see what they, basically every attack that we're talking about today, tomorrow, and everything else is about the completion of that plan. The abortion issue is to stop the continuation of those lines that line that God has put into effect to go to the end. The birth rate detraction, we have the vaccine enforcers, they're attacking the children, causing, you know, numerous different things, anywhere from disease to mental problems, ADHD and all these things. And then we have the public school system out there teaching no godly morality, no work ethic, no dependence upon God at all, you know, and do your own thing. And we know that. And then we have the what do they call it, LGBT brigade out there that is a serious death cult that is another dead end. I mean, these are all dead ends. Every one of these are dead ends to God's plan for his creation. You know, every single one of them. Taking away our guns. That's another end of that. When you leave people with the food issues, every single one of these is a dead end that they want to take us down. And it just leaves you. I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, talk about dead ending everything that God has in mind for his people. I think it just leaves me. I think it's an interesting way to look at it. And it's all against the children, because that flies in the face of God. So.
Well, you know, and the thing is people got to realize that, you know, they can talk about the abortion clinics. Well, where's the real problem? Well, the problem is if you look at the abortion clinics, well, you know, 89%, I think it's 89 to 95% of the women that go into an abortion clinic are unwed and are having relations where they shouldn't be. They're fornicating.
That's right.
They're fornicators.
Exactly.
Oh, if you cut out the fornication, you could eliminate 95% of the abortions.
That's right. It is a heart matter. It by the time it gets to the young lady walking into the abortion clinic, you know, you're down to the short rows then. The problem is, you're right, Jason, is way before that. It is mm-hmm. sin in the land. It is sin in the land. And fornication, disrespect, not honoring their parents. You know, and in many cases, it's people that they it goes back to that education system you were talking about, Tim. They haven't been taught right from wrong. They've been taught that, you know, just go out there and hump around like a bunch of dogs. That's all you are. You're just an animal. You came from apes, and you go to the zoo and you see the apes humping in front of everybody. And so you're no different than that. You're just like all the other people. Everybody's the same. And it is not that way, you know. Our society has never been this way. But in the last 200 years, what have we done? Really, the last 100 years, we have, when you read through the Bible, you know, we're told to be a peculiar people. We're told to be separate, holy. Not perfect, but holy for God. And we have not done that. We have mixed and mingled. We have brought every other tribe, race, culture in and merged with it and taken all of the worst that these other cultures bring in. See, we think, you hear about multiculturalism, but oh, how great it is, how we can blend and merge, and oh, it's just, you get a lot better result by doing this. We respect other cultures and this and that. No, that's to our downfall. That's to our downfall. You look at the other cultures of the world, they run around half naked. What do we do now? Most people, they run around half naked. They hump everything they can. They have relations with everything they can. We see that out of, whether it's the Aborigines, whether it's the natives out of Africa. That's just how it is. The American Indians were that way here. It was nothing to... They had no semblance of family, not like we do, not like Western man does. One man, one woman, husband and wife, and they raise children. That is a concept that is very unique to the Western Christian civilization. And because we have mixed and mingled and done it under the love of mankind and brought it in, we have gotten the worst of these other cultures. And fornication is one of the big ones. And you know, it worked back in the days of the Philistines when they dressed up their women and paraded them out in front of the Israelites. Because they couldn't curse the Israelites, but by golly, they could help us to sin. And it worked a few thousand years ago, and it still works today.
Well, and one of the things that occurs to me is the fact that, you know, and I guess it, godly normalcy is, I was talking to a young man the other day, and I said, you know, if you really want to be special this day and age, just try being godly. Try being moral. Try being clean right before God, because that's special. I mean, you don't find, you know, everybody wants to have some, I don't know, they want to be special some way or the other, I guess. So, you know, whether it's five more tattoos or five right more... five more pieces of metal in their face or whatever it is that they do. And when you look at, don't you think, boy, when you find somebody who's upright before God, clean and a hard worker and what we consider normal, it's unusual. And we've done the same thing. The question I have is with this whole melting pot philosophy for you know, the United States is that makes us just like every other country in the world. I mean, if you look at all these European countries and if you look at all these other countries, people come, people go, they're full of all sorts of things. So isn't it all right if there's one country that's our country, that's God's country, that stands for God, that's normal that way? But according to the sons of hell, no. You know, they want they use that as a club against everyone, and it's and we know that when they came over here, they claimed this country for God and for the Christian religion, and so no matter how many lies they put before us as regards that, and this whole business with gun control just absolutely is an astounding thing to me when I look at all the things. Nothing, every person that has been, they're talking, Iowa just passed a bill that is basically going to allow people to go, they want to take armed police officers and go house to house and mandate forced vaccination. Now, I'm pretty sure that if I was a police officer asked to do that, I would have a great degree of fear, trepidation about doing that. I mean, you know, that'd really leave me thinking about it. I'm pretty sure you probably want your body armor on, because the question is that what time, it just takes one to say no, and things are going to get really heated really quickly. So you know, we have, and we still have those people out there. That's the other thing that strikes me is, and our pastor said this years ago, there's one thing about the American people that has happened. I mean, the true Americans, the true people that came over here on the Mayflower and everything else, they don't give up their guns, and they don't quit, and they know how to say no, and they are, there's no place left to run. They're done moving. This is last stand time, you know, so it's, those things are well on the way there, and you see that, and it's like, wow. So I think it's interesting.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to call in, if you have a comment or a question, we are here, and we'd be glad to take your call. It's March 2nd. 2019. You might hear this program at other times. We do record them and archive them and play them on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We play them at a couple different times, a couple different shortwave frequencies, different times of the day to try to get, well, it's what we do with our programs, to try to get the message out different times of the day, different frequencies, especially on shortwave, reach different parts of the country and, well, different parts of the world. At different times of the day, different weather patterns, and so we do that. But right now, Saturday morning, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Yeah, Tim, you talk about these gun control laws. This, I think one of them's H.R. 8 that they pushed, unconstitutional universal background checks on all gun sales. And it's not just, you think, well, you know, dadgum, it's getting so crazy. If you sell a gun, you know, the people need to be able to buy one. Well, see, that's always been a self, at least private sales, a self-governing type of operation. It is just, it is illegal. If you're a felon, and I have a gun for sale, and I have for sale, and you come to me, and I ask you, are you a felon? Can you legally own this firearm? And you say, yes, well, you broke the law. But that's what felons do. That's what lawbreakers do. That's what thieves and rapists and murderers, it's what they do. And as Christians, you know, we're given the opportunity to govern ourselves and to say, well, you know, no, I can't. I can't. You know, if you've been convicted of a felony and you can't own a firearm, well then, you know, and I know some people like that, and they say, no, I can't. You know, I can't buy that. And it's as simple as that. But no amount of gun control, no amount of laws are going to stop the bad guys, the felons, the murderers, the rapists, the shooters. No law. Is going to stop them, and it's time that gets through the head of the people. But this H.R. 8 passed 240-190. There was another one. I don't have the other bill here in front of me, but there were two major gun control bills that passed, and you know none of this would have prevented any of these shootings that have happened, but they push this. You know, it sounds good. Universal background checks. See, that's first. But see, to have that, you have to have firearms registration, 100%, all of them. You have to have it. And then the next thing with that is confiscation. There is no doubt about it. You can look through. We see how the left-wing liberals in this country are pushing socialism. They're not even. They say it. Yeah, we're democratic socialists, and they push that hard and hard and hard. And you look back through history, and you see that. You know, look at Venezuela. They took all their guns, and the people are starving. The people are starving down there, and just. In, I won't say our lifetime, but in our generation, in the last 50, 60 years, Venezuela was one of the most, it was the most, the basically the wealthiest country in South America, had the most thriving middle class that rivaled the United States, and sometimes was better than the middle class in the United States is terms of wealth and lifestyle. But no more. No more. You know, I saw another quote that came out of this CPAC this weekend, and it was, I don't know the guy's name, but it was a guy from some TV show, bald-headed guy, Pawn Stars or something like that. And he said, you know, this socialism is like heroin or cocaine, something like that. And he said, when you first get it, it sounds good. And the first hit is, oh my gosh, it is fantastic. He said, but it's a living hell for the rest of it. And that's what he was comparing socialism to, something like that. I just saw a blurb on it. And it's like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. It is. Maybe, you know, maybe that'll get through to some people. We'll see.
In Venezuela, speaking about Venezuela, about 5 years ago, Venezuela came in and outlawed all firearm ownership.
Yes.
Give or take, I don't know the exact date. But right now, they're literally emptying their prisons, putting a uniform on those men, arming them, and they're out there killing protesters in the street right now.
That's right. They've already gotten troops from Cuba. I saw that last year, and that was not enough for them.
We see all that going on, and that's the thing with Venezuela, and that's the thing with this creeping socialist ethic that is, it's never worked in any country it's ever been in. And you know, these things, to when you were raised with understanding about biblical principles, this stuff seems, what's the word, elementary to you, really. I mean, but it bears repeating. It needs to be instilled. And I realize we have new people in the ministry who may not have heard it before, but you know, God's way is you work or you don't eat. It's not a question of a guaranteed minimum income if you can't work or don't feel like working. God has ways. The Bible has every answer in it that we seek. It doesn't matter whether it's about driving on the highway or nuclear warfare. The answers are there if you want to apply it with Holy Spirit inspired wisdom that God gives us. It's all there on how to handle it. It's all available to us. He talks about how we're to work in our relationships, how we're to treat our children, how we're to run our country, how we're to run our I mean, everything from septic systems to healthcare to
Amen.
To governmental aspects. It's all there. And so praise the Lord for that. I was speaking with a gentleman about the Second Amendment the other day, and one of the things that I said to him was in regards to the Constitution did not give us the right to keep and bear arms. It even says it didn't. It said they were God-given rights. All it did was re-enumerate them and respond to them. So if you yank the Bible out of America and get rid of it, you get rid of the authority of that Constitution and of that Bill of Rights and of those sorts of things. They're gone. I mean, it's the Bible that is the bedrock and the cornerstone and the foundation
Amen.
Of those things, because they're God-given. So,
Amen.
That's one of those things. I just felt like I really needed to kind of put that out there, that those answers are there.
They are. If we would but read it. And I say praise God. More and more people are reading it. More and more people are coming to this ministry. And that's what we tell them. You know, we stand with what Pastor Peter said. Hey, if you hear me say something and you read in the Bible and the Bible's, you know, and what I'm saying is different than the Bible, you go with the Bible. Now, we want to have the right understanding in the Bible. You can't just take one verse in the Bible and build a religion or a way of life around it. We have to take all Scripture is given for our learning, for our education, for our, you know, for us growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All of it is. And it really is. It really is that way. Well, folks, again, phone lines are open if you want to call in. 307 745-5913 if you want to give a call. And you know, Tim, you mentioned that raising that minimum wage. It sounds good. You know, and how you mentioned, you know, people that have been brought up in this. Talked with a young lady last week, and she's been raised up in this Christianity. And she knows, you know, the minimum wage was set up to, you know, for whether it's high school students, just a little part-time job, or entry-level work. Entry-level work. It's not. It's like a ladder, and that minimum wage is to be the bottom rung. You know, nobody forces you to stay there, but the whole idea is to climb that ladder. And the more you climb that ladder in work, and you know, in learning, and bringing more value to the workplace, well, the higher you get on the ladder, the more money you'd make. But that's not how these people look at it. They look at it, you know, Bernie Sanders last month, he reintroduced, because they've done it before and it keeps failing, they keep reintroducing it, reintroduced the Raise the Wage Act. That's what they're calling it. It would increase the federal minimum wage from $7.25 to $15 an hour. You know, I've got two of my sons that work in the summertime fire stuff. They're out fighting fires in the summertime. We've talked about that. One rappels out of helicopters, and one's done it. This will be his third year. Third year doing it. Neither one of them make $15 an hour. And they're out fighting fires. They're out saving people's homes. The training that they've had to go through, they don't make $15 an hour. You know, they're in the 11, 12, maybe 13, 50, not even, I think maybe four, not even $14 an hour. So take it to 15. Who pays for that? You know, when Subway up here, there's the local guy owns like three Subways here in town. He don't pay $15 an hour. But you know, if he's got to take the pay, if he's got to pay another $3, $4, $5 an hour to his people, you think he's just going to cut his profit? Well, I you know, the owner, business owner, I can't make this much money anymore. I'm making too much money. I got to pay my people more. No, it just gets passed on to me and you, to everybody that works there, for them to make more money than everybody that eats there, everybody that uses that business. That's who pays for it, and the people don't understand that. They don't put that two and two together. They just don't. But I thought it was interesting that when Bernie Sanders reintroduced this Raise the Wage Act, it was co-sponsored, and this is a little group I want to talk about for just a minute if we can. It was co-sponsored by almost every Democratic senator that has said that they're going to run for president in 2020. Booker, Brown, Gillibrand, Harris, Klobuchar, I don't know if that's how you say it, Klobuchar, Merkley, and Elizabeth Warren, okay? Most of them were all co-sponsors of the 2017 Medicare for All bill, okay, and that's coming back. They're starting to push that again. These all, the same group, Democratic senators that have said they want to run for president in 2020, so they've all co-sponsored the Raise the Wage Act. See, that way they can tell everybody, oh, we want you to make more money. We want to give you more money for doing the same thing. They all also voted against the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Every one of them. They all oppose this measure of, hey, if a child survives abortion, we have to give it the same medical care as we would just a woman coming in wanting to have a healthy baby. They opposed that bill. Okay? They are thieves. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. Another bill that they did co-sponsor, Federal Marijuana Legalization Bill. And it's up right now. Hasn't been passed, but they have promoted it. And how many times has this come up? It is the time. Tell me it's not. Tell me I'm wrong if it's not the parable of the tares and the wheat coming true. that these tares, they stand up, they join together. Oh, yeah, we want to oppose keeping babies alive. Yeah, include us, include us. Oh, yeah, we want to legalize marijuana federally. Us too. They want to, promise. It's these promises. I think of the Bible verse that says, when the people say peace, peace, that's when you better look out. You better look out. And I, at least in my mind, that ties in that that's what these people are doing. They're calling peace, peace. Oh, it's great. More money for you. Go out and fornicate. We'll take care of your baby. Don't worry about it. And while you're at it, smoke some dope. It's okay, dude. Yo, man. Us and Cheech and Chong, we get along, dude. And they lie. They lie about it. This one, who was it? Harris. Who is this? Kamala Harris, from a Democrat from California, of course. She says, I was smoking weed as a college student. Yeah, it gives people a lot of joy. We need more joy in the world. This is a Democratic senator talking about smoking dope. She says, I used to listen to Snoop Dogg and Tupac Shakur when I was smoking dope in college. The only problem was they had not released any music yet when she was in college smoking dope. See, they just make this stuff up. They just lie because that's what they do. They are liars and thieves and killers. It is by their fruits. You know them. You don't have to believe me. Read their quotes. It's what they do. They serve their father, the devil. Wake up. Wake up, America. Get you some double caffeine coffee and wake up to this fact that we are at war. It is war between right and wrong and good and evil. And Satan and Jesus Christ and those that follow them.
Amen.
I was traveling one time with Pastor, and we were talking about things, and in the course of our conversation it came up. I said, well, what do you think would be, if God's kingdom was on the face of the earth right now and set up, I think, what do you think would be the most stark reality of that, or the biggest thing that you'd really notice? His response was, well, I don't think most people would be able to hardly deal with the freedom of it.
Wow.
And I was like, why would that be a problem? I can remember I don't see that as a, he goes, well, we have, centuries and centuries and centuries of these overlords who have dictated to people every aspect of their life, everything that they do, how they travel, where they travel, how they spend their money, where their children go to school, where, and all these things. And what brought this to mind was that there was a new poll that was out, and the thing that they were talking about was, what do you believe that's the biggest problem America faces? And the response was government. And it was like, wow. And government, by its very description, is force, is the lack of freedom. I think Jason's brought it out multiple times. A license is something that they give you, that's not legal to do. Is that the right definition, Jason? I think, they charge you a fee and allow you to do so. That's what licensure is about when we see that. So, anyways, it's one of those things when we see that, the freedom of not having all of that around there. And it's not anarchy. That's the thing. That's a totally different, a thing, it's just one of those things that we have to, and that's what they array themselves against, because why? They want to keep their jobs in government. So,
Amen. Amen. Well, the snow is coming down heavier and heavier. It's beautiful outside. Boy, it's all white and covered. You know, the whole ground is covered in white. We probably got 3 inches of snow out there. The cars are covered. Got the little, went out last night and lifted all the wipers up. Got all them poking out of the vehicles. So, you know, you try to do that so that you don't rip your wipers when you try to, you know, clean the windshield off. It's not all doom and gloom, folks. It's not. But we do need to realize we are at war. And, you know, when I see this snow, these snow-covered grounds, just how beautiful it is. Doesn't matter what the ground looks underneath. When it's covered in white, in my viewpoint, it's beautiful. Whether it's the old vehicles, you know, and I think most people would agree, you know, and whether it's a city landscape or country, farm, ranch, whatever, but when it's covered in snow, it's more beautiful when it's covered in white. And you know, Remnant, that, and people, that's really how God looks at us. You know, we certainly we've all sinned, but we you know, the remnant chooses to follow Him, chooses to be as much as possible self-governed, and reads the Word and understands, hey, there's some don't do these things, and we do our best not to do them. And then there's also some, you need to do these things, you know, and we try to do them, whether it's treating others the way we want to be treated, or you know, loving others, loving one another as we love ourselves, and things like that. And so we understand, and that's really what Christianity is. It's instructions from a loving God that says there's some things that if you do, they're going to be bad for you, and there's other things that if you don't do them, they're not going to be good for you. So don't do these things, and do these things, and life will go well for you, a lot better than if you don't do these things. And we understand that. Now, when we can't do it physically, we have that grace. Because we can't do it physically, we have that grace. And that's the white, the snow covering, you know, that when we, not that we're perfect, but when we obey, because God prefers obedience to sacrifice. And so when we return to Him, when we obey, when we follow the biblical plan of salvation, not the, in more than likely not what you're hearing at the local church in your neighborhood, but the biblical plan of salvation, of believing, yes, but even the demons believe, believing, repenting, being washed clean, and being clothed with Christ. And how do you do that? Baptism. And it comes back to that. And when you start to understand that, everywhere you read in the Bible, everywhere you read, you see that. You know, even Isaiah. Turn to, you know, folks, I don't know if you have your Bible. I'll just read right here at the very beginning of Isaiah. And Isaiah is a lament from God. It is God saying, "What, kids, what have you done? What have you done?" And 1 through 15, I mean, 15 ends up, says, when you, God says, you sinning people, even when you pray, I'm not going to hear you. And people wonder today why their prayers aren't heard. Well, I've been praying, I don't ever get an answer. Well, let's go to the Word and find out. He says why. Because your hands are covered with blood. Your hands are covered with blood. Doesn't get much, I don't really want to say filthier, but it you know, covered in blood is pretty, that's pretty bad. That's pretty ugly. But even then in verse 16, he says, wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Now this is Old Testament. This is before we talk about the blood of Jesus. Now we know Jesus always has been. But God gives the answer right here in Isaiah for the people. He even tells them then through the prophet Isaiah what to do. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil from the deeds the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. See, the people didn't know how to do good. They'd forgotten that. Boy, that, tell me that doesn't sound like today. Learn to do good. Cease to do evil. See, that's what we need to do today. Our people's heart needs to change. They need to, in relation to the abortion that you talked about earlier, that we talked about earlier, the fornication needs to stop. They need to learn to do good. They need to learn to stop doing what is evil in God's sight. Stop fornicating. Stop dishonoring your parents. Stop lying. Stop stealing. Stop cheating. Learn to do good. Goes on, it says, seek justice. Boy, justice comes up all through these scriptures. In what we as Christians, and in what our, the way our society is supposed to be. Seek justice. And then he kind of tells you how you do that. You reprove the ruthless. You tell the lawbreaker, the ruthless, those that want to kill babies, you say, no. No. No, by God, you will not kill those babies. That's how you honor Jesus Christ. That's how you honor God. You reprove ruthless, those that want to kill babies, because it's just babies today in this abortion control, or in this abortion act from New York, and Illinois is looking to pass it. But what's it going to be in another few years? The old people too? It continues on. We are to reprove the ruthless. That means you tell them no. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. We have the instructions.
Well,
go ahead. I'm done.
I thought it was pretty interesting that one of the things that came out here just in the last day or so was they've implemented all these red flag laws as far as gun control goes. You know, which is a personal attack on gun ownership. I mean, you know, you have a national; they're up there trying to pass those ones in Congress. But the red flag laws that are on the states are a personal attack. They're not necessarily a national attack. That way, if it looks like, well, we can take you down one at a time. But they had one in Maryland, the Sheriff Mike Lewis there in Wicomico County. And he basically is another one of those, you know, sheriffs who stood up and said, well, the quote he had was that they'd heard, it says, legislatures heard testimony from constituents and public officials during a hearing on Monday that addressed 19 different bills related to firearms. When speaking to a room of people after testifying, Lewis reiterated his thoughts on these bills. Quote, we're going to let them know that we are sick and tired of being penalized for Baltimore City's inability to control crime, end quote, Lewis told the room in a video that circulated on social media. Quote, if these bills pass, we will not comply, end quote. And of course he said, well, I'm not speaking for the Sheriff's Association, but this is my county, and we're not gonna do that. And, you know, you got to, love it when you get somebody like that who'll stand up. I mean, that's a big stand to take there in a situation like that. And, that's that law of God written upon, that man's heart. And I don't know what his Christian convictions are, but it just kind of makes me think that he's got some, whether he knows it or not. I mean, and not that I've heard one way or the other, but it just is, you know, that's another one that has stood up, and we've had them basically now Maryland all the way over to what, Washington, I think, was the other one we were talking about. But there's a bunch of those men that are standing up and saying, well, we're not going to enforce it. So I thank God for those. I really do. They're standing in the gap.
Amen. Amen.
There's several of these counties here in Colorado, too, that have already come out and voted on being a sanctuary city for gun rights and or county. And one of the headlines read, Montezuma commissioners declare county a gun sanctuary. And this was in Montezuma County, Colorado. And basically they voted on it, and they considered it and talked about it and voted on it and said, no, we're not going to comply with the rest of the state's laws, and we're going to make this. If they can do it and they can make a sanctuary city to protect illegals, we can make a sanctuary county for protecting people and their firearms rights. And they voted on it last Thursday and declared the county a gun sanctuary county. And it was about 150 people that went into the commissioner's office for the meeting, it was every one of them voted in favor of it. So, you know, that so far there's been two that have done this and declared it, and Larimer County it sounds like they're going to try to make this one of them, and hopefully we can be the third county, and that's the county that I reside in, and it's looking like we might be able to get that passed too. So, you know, you gotta look, and there is hope, and there is some people fight.
Absolutely,
amen.
You know, sometimes it takes so little to change things and to change the view of people and to get some of this stuff gone through. You know, one of the biggest lies that I believe was ever told is you can't fight City Hall. You know, they say that, and they've gotten people programmed to believe that, and that's a bunch of garbage. That's a bunch of hogwash. If people believe that and they recite that, you know, then they're not going to do anything to try to change anything.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we're about out of time. Thank you for joining us. We thank you, the Remnant, for tuning in and being with us, joining us. And we invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. Hopefully the roads will still be open. We'll get down there and have a church service for you. And you can do that starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern at scriptures4america.org. Click on the live video stream then it'll be a video stream, and join us. And so we encourage you to do that. Well, thanks for tuning in. If you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling,
stay
calm. Ha! Ha! Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.